The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life, a life savings company for your journey to and through retirement.
Presidential election gets a lot of coverage, but so does the budget 2026, which is happening in just over 2 weeks' time. Preparations are certainly underway, and the Department of Public Expenditure plays a central role in deciding where the resources are allocated. The Minister in charge, Jack Chambers, is with me now. You're very welcome to the studio, Minister.
Thanks so much, Claire. Good morning.
How much of this budget has been decided?
So there's still a lot to be decided, and like all of these budgetary decisions, it's usually in the last few days. So we've had extensive engagement with colleagues around priorities, but it does come at a very different period for Ireland. We have a huge amount of international uncertainty, geopolitical instability, and the main emphasis for government is how we can protect the jobs that we've created over the last number of years. We've over 400,000 more people working in Ireland than we had in the last, and just before the pandemic. And we really want to protect the jobs in our economy and also moderate current expenditure when we know that there's wider risks around us. We really want to focus on investment in this budget. And that's why infrastructure and housing will play a central role in how we reposition expenditure over the next number of years.
Overall, the budget package is 9.4 billion, but we've had multiple warnings from the central bank, from the ESRI, from IFAC, that reads overheating the economy. Are you minded to cut that 9.4 billion package at all?
No, we've been clear that the package that we agreed in July as part of the summer economic statement will be what we set out on budget day. But myself and Minister Donoghue are working together to deliver that package.
Could it go over the 9.4 billion?
No, the 9.4 billion are the fiscal parameters, and that's what's been agreed. But it does represent a significant moderation of current expenditure. Just for your listeners, we've had a 45% increase in expenditure over the last 5 years. That's an average of 9% per year. We're slowing expenditure growth this year, for next year, and indeed for the next number of years in the medium-term plan that we set out. And that means there'll have to be greater focus on reforms, on efficiencies and delivery. So we've put significant expenditure into lots of areas of services, but we need to see better delivery. And that means, I suppose, that we're trying to create the space to really focus on investment in infrastructure. We know that IFAC and the central bank reference the infrastructure deficit. And if we don't fix that and bridge that gap, that will have an impact on growth for the future. And that's why really delivering on infrastructure, on housing, on transport, the building more homes, more schools is what's critical for Ireland's future. And that's why that we're trying to create the space in that regard to try and as part of the overall budget be possible.
And they seem to be supportive of the capital spending that is promised, but not perhaps the current spending. They want you to spend less. I did see the economist Austin Hughes yesterday saying that he felt the central bank was being too cautious in their projections, that we don't need to row in way below this 9.4 billion. You agree?
Well, it's a significant moderation. So if you take the last 5 years, as I said, it was about 9% on average per year. What we're doing next year is just over 6% on current expenditure. We are ramping up capital expenditure. So just over 7% overall increase is mainly contributed by an increase in capital expenditure. And we have had significant population growth in our economy. If you engage with hospitals or schools or public services, they're seeing pressures and demands which have to be paid for. We need to underpin frontline staffing and demands to meet that need. So, but even if any of my colleagues were engaging with me, it is a much tighter, more moderated level of expenditure than we've had in recent years. And we want to stick to our parameters. And the work we're doing as well is to put Ireland on a more sustainable fiscal path. So that means not only making decisions to slow expenditure growth next year, but then to do it over the next series of years, ramping up capital investment and slowing the amount of current expenditure in our economy. And that will build resilience for the future, protect the jobs and deliver the infrastructure that's needed to make sure Ireland is competitive in a world that is so uncertain.
So the words I'm hearing here is tighter expenditure, more moderate expenditure, rolling back on the expenditure. A lot of the excessive, perhaps, expenditure, some commentators would have said over the last couple of years, were on those one-off payments, those cost of living supports. Politically, that is going to be difficult, given the fact that a lot of those cost of living pressures have not gone away. In fact, if you look at energy, for example, it seems to be worsening. Are you determined to completely hold the line on that, to reduce those one-off payments to zero?
we've been very clear that there won't be a one-off cost living package in this budget, and that's very much trying to bring Ireland back to a position which has sustainable expenditure strategy.
So no package, but could there be singular measures?
What we understand, like I know and meet with families, I was down in Wexford and Waterford in the last couple of days. I was in Offaly yesterday with my colleague Tony McCormack, and we're meeting with businesses and families and people that are feeling the pressure. What we're going to do, though, is within the 5.9 billion that's been made available for current expenditure, it's how do we best use the social protection system to support those who need the support most, the most vulnerable in our society. Carers, child poverty, disability will be a focus in social protection. So it's about targeting the supports in a budget to make sure it's progressive and fair. But we can do that because of the overall economic management of recent years. We have the scope to support people, but the measures we make have to be permanent, sustainable and affordable. And that's why what we won't be doing in this budget is agreeing the parameters that I've set out in the last number of minutes and then sitting another package above that, because the trend of expenditure growth would become excessive. And that presents risks for Ireland if we continue to do that year on year.
OK, so no big package, you've said, but there could be singular supports. You're not ruling those out. What we saw over the last couple of budgets was the energy credit, for example. The reports in the Irish Independent yesterday that perhaps what's on the table now is an €80 universal energy credit. Is that something you think that is manageable?
So my priority is to really focus and target payments at those most in need.
So that's a no.
The budget hasn't been decided yet, but the focus is to target payments. We have people who are more vulnerable, who may be at risk of poverty, and who have low incomes on a weekly basis. And any responsible progressive government should prioritise and target payments for those most in need, particularly when we're moderating expenditure.
Will there be no universal payment, do you think? We're not talking about I'm talking about a singular payment to deal with something like the energy credits.
The priority from a social protection perspective is on targeted payments. We've already, for example, extended the 9% rate on gas and electricity. I know Minister Donoghue is actively considering a further extension of that for next year as part of the overall tax package.
Is that something you're comfortable with? Extending the VAT on home energy bills at 9% beyond next month.
I think that's a sensible measure, but I think that will have to fit within the overall tax package. I know Minister Donoghue is working, obviously, within tight parameters around with €1.5 billion being made available from a tax perspective, and that's something we would have discussed in the programme for government. But we need to move away from temporary one-off supports. The government rightfully intervened in COVID in the inflationary period where inflation was at 10%. Inflation is now less than 2%. And we will be there to support people to improve living standards, but also ultimately jobs and the future competitiveness of the Irish economy to attract more jobs, more investment is critical. And part of how we need to reposition the Irish budgetary strategy is to really focus on infrastructure delivery, whether it's the public transport, the roads, the homes, the schools, and really building the foundations for the future are critical for Ireland's longer term prosperity. And that's why we have to take account for that in the trade-offs that exist and how we frame the overall budget package.
Okay, speaking of trade-offs, there is a €1.5 billion tax package available. It's not a massive amount of money. There was a promise in the programme for government that VAT would be reduced to 9% for hospitality, for restaurants, for bars, for cafes. That would cost about €870 million a year. Are you happy, is Fianna Fáil happy, that so much of that package could be swallowed up by one measure?
So that is something we would have discussed through the programme for government. And what we're working through now is how we might look at the sequencing and timing of that in the context of other competing priorities from a tax perspective. What I would say is that when you speak to people in the food and hospitality sector, they're under significant pressure as well. They employ over 190,000 people. 75% of those businesses employ 10 or less people. And many of them have restaurants or cafes that are full but have very little at the end of it. And we want to protect our tourism economy. We want to protect that across our regions. And that's why it's a measure being examined in the context of Budget 2026.
But there are reports that Fianna Fáil is a bit uncomfortable because it leaves so little left for any other tax measure.
But I think that's why the timing and the sequencing of it will be important to make room for other measures as well.
So maybe don't bring it in until next July, well, is one of the suggestions.
That's what Minister Dunhuigh, as he crafts the tax package, will have to look at that measure. There's other measures which are due to conclude, which have sunset clauses in them, which may need to be extended again.
For example, the
renter's tax credit. There's the VAT 9 on gas and electricity. We would have referenced in last year's budget the constant need to review the research and development tax credit to drive new investment for Ireland for the future in terms of Indigenous and international business. So there's a whole range of competing priorities which have to sit within the 1.5 billion parameters from a tax perspective. And obviously the VAT 9 move is part of that overall consideration.
Would there be kind of a quid pro quo, do you think, Minister, if that was brought in? If the restaurants and the cafes and the bars did get that 9% and they got it, let's say, from July next year, as being speculated, would we see the cost of our cup of coffee going down? The cost of our burger going down?
Well, look, the input costs vary depending on, like, a lot of the input costs for food and hospitality are outside of domestic control, or even they're very much part of a global market and the supply chain, and that is highly volatile.
Costs remain the same in that sense.
Well, I think it would be impossible for anybody to say to you or that they a particular price point would change. What it does, though, is it gives greater stability around the cost environment for businesses who employ a lot of people in towns and villages right across Ireland. There could be one cafe, one small restaurant, which employs local people, and we need to sustain and protect those jobs. We know, for example, many years ago when this move was introduced, it had a positive impact on employment in our regions. And the tourism and hospitality sector is critical in many parts of Ireland, and we need to protect the jobs that exist there.
And those jobs that exist there, will they benefit from an increase in the minimum wage? That's been speculated, bringing it above €14. Is that part of the quid pro quo?
No, what I say is the recommendations that come from the Low Pay Commission are completely distinct and separate from any decision that will be made on VAT 9. We get recommendations on an annual basis. They've yet to be sent to government and are always considered as part of the budget. So that is yet to be discussed. I understand Minister Burke has received a report, but it has yet to come to government. And
what is your own feeling on it? If they get the 9%, should they?
But I don't think we need to be careful. Like workers, like people, low paid workers should be paid a fair wage, and you know, there shouldn't be kind of a public trade-off between VAT 9 and ensuring we have fair wages for low-paid workers in any economy. And we need to ensure that the consideration around the minimum wage is very much separate and distinct from any change on VAT.
If there was that change on VAT, which I think most people think is going to come in, there's a piece here in the front of the Sunday Times I'm looking at, Food Fight fears over this backlash over this VAT cut because it would absorb so much of that tax package, and fears that some of the bigger restaurants, the bigger chains, the names that so many of us are familiar with, that they would also benefit, the Starbucks, the McDonald's, all of the big chains that appear to be doing pretty well. Is there a way, is there a mechanism, as was suggested by our newspaper panel, to ensure that those businesses are left outside of this?
Well, look, I think, as I said earlier, the vast majority of these businesses across Ireland employ less than 10 people. It's a local person hiring local people, and it's about protecting those local jobs. And that will be the sole policy purpose of any change from a VAT perspective.
But can it be tweaked like that?
I'm not aware of obviously tax is universally applied, and obviously there's very specific rules around VAT from a European tax perspective as well. So I'm not aware of ways to adjust it or complicate it, as you may have suggested.
You mentioned there our own personal tax system and the difficulties, I suppose, that there might be given the small amount of money available to do any huge adjustments there. But at a bare minimum, you would have to think there's got to be some movement in those tax bands and those personal income tax bands to even just take in wage inflation.
That is going to be challenging, to be frank. It's going to be really challenging to make adjustments on income tax with the other competing priorities that are there from a tax perspective. That's what Minister Dunhuigh is examining. It's a very tight tax package of 1.5 billion euro. And the central focus for government is to protect jobs, to protect the over 400,000 more people who are working in Ireland now, as I said, than were before the pandemic, and to ensure that we we use our tax system to create future jobs in our economy. And that's why the research and development tax credit plays a really important role. So it's a budget, as I've said, clouded by a lot of international uncertainty. And we need to be careful in how we manage each budget so that we don't risk and taking in fact the wider concerns that are there, and not further narrowing our tax base when there is that broader risk in our economy. So, look, as I said, there's been no decisions made, but we need to stick to our overall parameters. And that's to protect Ireland. It's to ensure we have sustainability at the core of our budgetary approach, and to build that buffer there. And like, we're putting money aside in the Future Ireland Fund, the Infrastructure, Climate and Nature Fund. So if there was any shock internationally, we have that resilience so that Ireland can come through it. And I think we've demonstrated the strength of our economic management in recent years. And that means we're in a different budgetary environment with the risk that's around us, and why we need to be careful in how we approach Budget 2026.
Okay, you've talked a lot, Minister, about infrastructure, that is going to be a real focus in this budget. Housing is obviously the main area of concern for the majority of our listeners, if not everyone, this morning. There's speculation, ongoing speculation within the papers, it's the editorial in the Sunday Times today, about the needs for tax breaks now for developers. Call them what you want, construction tax breaks. Ideologically, are you opposed to those?
Ideologically, I'm not. But I mean, we have to be. Like to what I've said earlier on, we have to manage an overall tax package within what we've agreed. And I think it's also important, if any change were made, that it would yield an improvement in supply. So, it would be inappropriate to comment on any particular tax measure. And there's been no decision made on your suggestion. But I think ultimately every lever of expenditure strategy, tax strategy or regulation should all focus on supply. And our central focus in government is to drive the improved supply of homes across our economy. We have.
So you're willing to do it even if it's unpalatable to a number of people?
Well, housing is our number one priority. But as I said, we haven't made any decision on any particular tax break that you've referenced. But we. We're looking at all measures, and if you take our National Development Plan, we have prioritised housing and infrastructure that underpins housing in water, in transport infrastructure in particular. It's a matter for the overall tax package to see what's available.
Sound like a great budget, does it, for your average family out there? I mean, if last year's was a bumper, this one, I think Charlie Weston called yesterday, a bit of a bummer.
Well, I don't accept that, because what most families out there want to see this government do is to drive momentum on housing delivery. They want to see us build the homes, the schools, the transport systems of the future that creates the jobs for Ireland in the longer term, and also that protects Ireland's economy in a time of huge international uncertainty. And that's our guiding principle for Budget 2026, protecting Ireland and building that prosperity. And the foundations that will underpin it is infrastructure and housing.
Okay, you're a busy man. You are a minister of public expenditure and a huge role in this budget. You're also the director of elections for Fianna Fáil for the presidential, the presidency. Did you hear Bertie Ahern speaking on the radio on Friday afternoon? He spoke to my old colleague, Claire Brock, and he really spoke about how disappointed he was with how he had been treated by the Fianna Fáil party. He had been willing and had been working on a presidential campaign. He had made it clear to the party and they had basically ignored him. He felt totally disrespected. Do you respect Bertie Ahern?
I have enormous respect for Bertie Ahern. I have enormous respect for his contribution to Irish politics, to peace in Ireland.
Was he treated fairly by the party?
And his contribution to his community in Dublin Central. And what I would say is that we've had a democratic process. If you look at the three candidates in the field, we had an internal competitive process. It was open to any member of the party and of the parliamentary party to nominate somebody. We had two nominees that came through that, Jim Gavin and Billy Kelleher. We had a competitive process, as you saw in the days leading up to it. And Jim Gavin was democratically selected. And we're now very much proceeding on a united basis. There's been huge support for Jim Gavin across our membership.
Well, not from Bertie Ahern, who said, I don't know if I am going to row in behind.
Well, I think he also referenced that he knows Jim Gavin very well. And like they would have strong connections from all the time in the GEA.
Do you regret not picking up the phone and giving him a call? That sounds like what he wanted.
Well, look, I'm not privy to what conversations may or may not have been had. And I said I've personally a huge amount of respect for Bertie. And
do you think somebody in leadership should call him? Somebody like you?
I spoke to Bertie at the De Valera commemoration there in the, 2 or 3 weeks ago. And we always have a good chat when we meet. And I said I've huge time and respect for him and his contribution. And my focus over the next few weeks is to do what I can to mobilise the Fianna Fáil organisation to get behind Jim Gavin. He has had an enormously warm and enthusiastic response to the ploughing championships during the week.
I'm just wondering, are you worried?
He was in West Clare.
Are you worried at all, Minister, that this presidential campaign, that this vote will become a referendum on the coalition, could actually become a referendum on this budget?
I don't think so. I think people understand it's the first citizen of the state. It's very much separate and distinct from day-to-day politics. And I think it'll be fought on the principles and the ideals. Like Jim Gavin has spoke about, you know, what he'll bring as someone who's been extensively involved in community. He's someone who has made enormous contribution as a previous member of the Defence Forces. And he's someone who's a leader and someone I think will inspire our country over the next number of years if he's elected president. I think it'll be fought on that basis, not on the day-to-day cut and thrust of politics, which we'll see in the Dáil and obviously over an overall assessment of the budget.
Okay.
But the budget is going to be a positive one for Ireland. It will deliver more infrastructure, it will deliver more housing, and it will protect our economic future. And I think most people will get behind that.
Okay, just one final question. It's about a story at the front of the Business Post today. Warnings from the former governor of the Central Bank of Ireland, Patrick Honohan, who is concerned, he says, about the AI bubble and it being amongst the biggest threats to the global financial system.
Well, the transformation we're seeing and the changes that AI is bringing is an enormous risk to every economy globally. And that's why infrastructure and the work that James Lawless is doing on research and on digital infrastructure and on repositioning Ireland to attract that investment for the future will be really important as economies change. And AI is going to displace a lot of the workings of an economy and society today, and we need to be part of that revolution as it evolves and embrace the opportunities that will come from it.
All right, Minister Jack Chambers, thank you for your time this morning.
Thanks so much, Ciara.
The Anton Savage Show on News Talk.
Brought to you by Standard Life. Retirement specialists getting you ready for your second life.